Selena, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just agreeing with what he said. My thoughts on it is that life is so unpredictable. That's one of the issues that persons are having. And I think the more unpredictable things that happen to people is the more their mindset change towards saving. Like, for instance, if you get a funeral or some other thing in your life that you weren't looking for and you have to out that money, then you say, you see, I could have spent my money and go partying or whatever. I think that is the mindset of people. Like, we know that no matter what, parties always are a good business venture, you know, compared to other things. I think sometimes people get stuck into instant gratification. But I think now with the coronavirus, it's especially a good time to realize, okay, despite the fact I want to enjoy my life, I have to be prepared in case something comes out of the blue like this, where I need to have something put down. Because, yes, people will say, okay, there's no shortage of food, and they might give you like something like rice or flour. But suppose you have celiac, or suppose you have some other condition. Your food is important. You need to be eating certain types of food. Can you afford it? So I think what everything that he said is very correct. We need to find different ways to save something in such a way that we don't touch it, because you don't know when you will have a real genuine big emergency when you will need it.
Yeah, and the thing is,
Corey, I agree totally with that, because I am not a psychologist, but you see what she said about the things people face, things changing, their attitude to not just savings, many other things in life as a result. I don't think we can underestimate that in the circumstance either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know as a child, I mean, this is a primary school child, when I used to get my pocket money, and I think that was probably less than $2 a week, I had actually, with the urging of my mother, would encourage me, every time you get 10 cents, don't spend the 10 cents, save it. And I know people would look at it and say, well, that's only 10 cents. But I do know that at the end of the year, those 10 cents added up, and I was able to at least make a contribution towards purchasing a gift from my mother or my father or even my teacher. So whereas for children, you may not. I mean, I had my piggy bank, which was separate. But I mean, out of my money, my pocket money, that was what I was encouraged not to spend and to save. So maybe this is something that we also need to teach our children to do, and do from early, because that's one of the things that we don't necessarily pass on to our children until they're older.
Right. What she's speaking about is parenting in general. I think the busier people get, the more parenting has gotten seen as a secondary thing when it should be primary and foremost all the time. And I think that is one of the issues that we face. If you do not have a proper upbringing and proper molding when it comes to things like that, saving money or thinking about tomorrow, things like this, then it's very hard for a person to do it as an adult. And so many times the people who are successful at this, they will always have some story of some person who taught them these things. So we have to now look at how can we teach people who don't know these things. Just the same thing, I always started cooking as a life skill. So it's saving is a life skill. If you know, if you have that mindset, you're not going to spend everything you have. But look at, if you can Google it, look at how many people were millionaires and now don't have a cent to their name. Mm-hmm. Why?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. If you look at Robert Kiyosaki, had a mm-hmm. book on Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep.
And he was talking about, he grew up in a poor household, but he had a friend who was rich, and that friend's father mentored him. And mm-hmm. he was talking about there were so many things that this man taught him that his father never taught him. And mm-hmm. and it also comes down to the thing of maybe we may be being hard on other people. Maybe they don't know how to save. I know I have students that if I take a student to AgroFest and the parent gives them $10, they want to spend $10 on 5 cents.
Correct.
Every single penny. Yet there will be other children there who will
go back home with
take change. Home $10 and 10 cents that they found on the road.
Correct.
That is that child. Mm-hmm.
But I know your children don't have the knowledge of a value of a dollar. And I think some parents, they feel like you're my child. So if you help me, you should work for free because you're making the household run. And you live here. And that's true. But sometimes when I give my kids extra jobs, I will pay them for it. And then I'll ask them, what are you going to do with that money? Because it might be $2. It might be $5. It doesn't have to be a lot. It could even be a dollar. But when the child realizes, hey, I did this thing for a whole hour and I got this money, they have more of a sense of value to it. They're not going to just throw it away foolishly. So right. Sometimes we can do little things. We can say, come and help wash your car. I can give you $2. Then the child say, wait, well, I was out here for a whole half hour scrubbing this car and I get $2 and I can go and buy Doritos? No, man. And they will learn more sense of how to save because they would realize that the money has a value. And that's the problem. When you're given something all the time, you don't understand the value of it. And then you squander it.
So some of this is adjusting, but some of this is new learning. Because in our financial and investment and saving program, and one of the programs I run with the Nature Fund Ranch, one of the things that we found early was that if a guy got $100 or even $500, he wants a pair of shoes for $550.
Yeah.
And we had to kind of change, and it was some, in one case, I remember it took us about 6 years before we could actually see fundamental change in one of the groups we were working with, because these things are what we call social oxygen. They need to have it in order to exist. And then with the explosion of social media, what made it worse was that they obviously would be seen in these things, you know, photos are taken, you're snapping, you're TikToking and all these different things. And therefore, you cannot wear that outfit again. So some of this is going to be new learning and some of it is going to be adjusting to suit. Cut the cloth according.
From where you are, no, Corey, I think just listening to all we're saying and going back to your theme of adjusting, maybe one of the significant adjustments we need to make is we as the adults need to make a conscious effort to start doing some of the things we're talking about with our children so that they can be the agents of real change, because in some respects it's too late for us, meaning we don't have enough years left necessarily to bring the type of change we're talking about. We can start.
Correct.
But I think we need to start embedding some of the stuff. Even the example she gave just now about paying your child to do a simple chore and teaching them the value of money, maybe part of the adjusting is that we need to focus on doing some of these things to make our children the agents of change in the society as the younger people in society. And then maybe we will start to see the change in mindsets towards saving, the changes in how we approach education and how we learn and all these other things that we're discussing this morning.
Right. I agree. Tell the child, let them work for $12 and they have to do 12 different jobs in order to get this $12, and then tell them, okay, so you can buy your snap box now. A lot of them will say, no, boy, I can't believe I had to work for that. They'll change their mindset, but when everything is coming to them all the time, you know, then they feel like, well, you got, they're counting your money for you. Oh, well, you got money, mommy, buy this for me. But they're not appreciating what you are going through to get this money. And in this time, especially with the coronavirus, it's important to show children how serious it is, to not to frighten them, but so they can understand, to have appreciation for the food they have, the family they have, and so on.
All right, 12 minutes before 1, Brass Tacks Sunday. Let's go to the lines and say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I think just now your panel, you along with your panel, touched on the key point as it relates to all of the changes that are happening, which would be the adjustment. That is very, very vital. And I will share my own personal experience, because I have been off from work for a little bit, and I shall resume work the first obvious teaching week. I am a student at university. They changed their situation. I don't have water, so I collect water every day. I have sisters who are frontline workers who are in the vulnerable group. So I had a whole set of changes going on, and it wasn't coping very well. I obviously had to learn how to adjust and bring myself back to a balance. I think that's what's happening with the society right now, that we are having some challenges trying to find a balance and adjusting. What I did was I used social media, positive social media platforms. I gathered as much information as I could. I learned as much as I could about these situations and so on, and tried to have as much fun as I could in terms of relaxing myself so that I can still continue to function. In addition to talking to one particular person who was able to help me, you know, to do some clarification and so on. During that time, there is a young lady. I have not spoken to her, so I don't want to call her name, but she set up a series of lives per day at a particular time, and she did storytelling. And I think on your own station, you have a similar situation with Ronnie Clark sharing a story or something like that. Now, the program, the class, Google Classroom, seems to be providing a little bit of challenge right now. As opposed to trying to focus on the content of math, language, and so on, I think we can probably look at some integrated lessons and use the media houses, whether it be CBC, VOB, or whoever else, social media, and do some things that will keep the children's minds occupied, out of trouble, but still learning something that's meaningful. So you can have, for example, a lesson on COVID-19. And you can get your science, you can get your social studies, you can get your math, you can get your language coming out of that. And you can still benefit from the exposure without having the major challenge of the technology and the internet and so on. Because if you don't, I'm sure that each person has a radio in the house. And you can have certain half an hour slots similar to the Google Classroom, and that might be beneficial to people across the island. Instead of trying to, because you would have to negotiate with the internet providers for that. You would also have to negotiate with the people who provide the tablets and the laptops and so on to look at that. In the meantime, what can we do? The things that we can do, as I said, Ronnie Clark would be doing that. Some of my friends are doing our social media, and there are other platforms that are similar that they can do something like that. That's my thought.
All right. Okay. Excellent. Good contribution.
I mean, I must congratulate Nicole, Corey. Very good idea, and I would even sum up what she's saying as that we should take a part of this time now to even focus on teaching our children some life skills and social skills, the other softer areas of life that they don't get to focus on in the midst of a school term. And I think that is a very brilliant idea that she's suggested.
All right, let's move on. Brostock Sunday, you're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome to Brostock Sunday. Just listen to your telephone and not your radio. All right, let's go again. Brostock Sunday, you are on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Am I on the program?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. Over the last couple of weeks, I was listening to a lot of call-in programs, and I recognize that the cry is that things are hard and we need assistance. Most persons will complain about this because, you see, they're not very focused when they are actually working. And I do believe, sir, that no matter what you're working for, you must save something. What I do find happening with a lot of persons in Barbados, I only can speak of Barbados, is that person will be working, for example, for $600, and they want to live off of an $800 budget. It just cannot work. You have to look and see what it is that is taking your expenditure over your income, and then you have to start looking to see what you can cut out. Now, something that really peeved me a lot is this. You're working, you're not saving anything, but you can find money to spend on even throwing birthday parties for a one-year-old, a two-year-old, or three-year-old that don't even understand what a birthday is. Now, all of that money is money that could be put to a better use in a saving somewhere that child can understand when they get older what it is that they're celebrating. They want to buy the latest gadgets only to play with, because Tom Brown have it and Mary Jane have it too, but you're working off a $600 budget. It just cannot work like that. I will give you a little story. You don't want to be long on this. I got my first job in 1983, and in 3 weeks' time, I wanted to buy a motor car. When I looked at the price of the motor car, it was $15,500, and you had to pay for that motor car $500 a month. And when you look at my income could not afford me $500 a month. So you know what? I back off of that, and later on I buy an old car that lasts me for 12 years. And because I did that, I was able to accumulate to get a better car. You have to give yourself elbow room that you can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? If not, you're going to find yourself in this situation. Now, most persons, when you find yourself in these destitute situations and you have savings, they should have savings at least that can last you for about 2 or 3 months. If you are saving money, do not feel comfortable to stop saving money unless you can accumulate at least 3 months your salary. You know, you will never find yourself in these situations, these destitute situations. Another thing that really peeved me was a lady calling on the calling program at 100.7, and she's complaining that she only have one gas bottle. How on earth you could be operating and managing a household with one gas bottle? And your complaint is that you can't afford two. But you can go in town and see a gin spanks that costs $80 and you buy it. So the gin spanks is more priority than a bottle of gas. Sir, my position here is this. We in this country have our priorities real wrong. And unless we can get it right in terms of living a life to suit the income that you have, we will always be in this position. And that is my contribution today, sir.
I thank you very much. Guess, anyone wants to say anything?
Corey.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Corey. The call has made some valid points. Don't get me wrong. Huh? But what I've been trying to shy away from is trying to give people some textbook formula as to how to save.
Mm-hmm.
Because from where I sit and from where I know you sit, Corey, the mm-hmm. harsh reality of what many people face is not textbook. So I support the caller in that priorities need to be set straight. We probably need to have some cultural changes because a lot of how we live is heavily influenced by what we see on cable TV and the internet, social media, whatever. We need to prioritize wants over needs. We need to not live beyond our means. All of those are valid things. But even to use the last example he used about having one gas bottle, but you could go to town and buy a pair of jeans. Who's to say the pair of jeans was not the only pair of jeans that the person would have? I don't know an individual situation. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am holding the line of each individual needs to make the relevant adjustments to suit their situation. I am not understating the need to save. I am not understating the need to save a certain percentage every month. I am not underestimating the requirement for us to live within our means and to prioritize. All of that, in my opinion, is the given. But as you would if you budgeted for a company or any other organization, with all of those givens, the real task in budgeting and forecasting comes with all of the other factors that you have to give consideration to, some of which may be known and quantifiable, some that may not be. And that is what really presents the challenge to people in terms of budgeting and determining how to use money. So very valid point.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bear in mind, and look, my eyes have been opened up to a lot of situations that people face, and it's very difficult for me now to hold a textbook line, because in some cases there's real hardship and things are not equitable. So many different things I could say, which would be another program, Corey. But there is validity in a lot of what the caller said, but I don't think
right.
it is.
It's like a middle line I encourage, where we say we have to look at priority and we come more to the right, and then you shift a bit to the left and end up in the middle when you say can't judge people, because as you said, you don't know if that's not only the only jean pants, but maybe the only pants, period. So we have to bring some balance to it.
But I would like to add to that, life is not only about priority. You see, if you live your life in a what I would say, a shirt jack all the time, you will not be happy either. Sorry for the wind blowing on me. You will not be happy either. So you really do have to find a balance, because, you know, in a you could say something like cake is an unnecessary food. Who needs cake? You understand what I mean? But can you imagine a world with no cake, no donut, no, you know, I'm a chef, so that's the angle I take. But if you understand what I'm saying, there's a certain joy that people get out of life as well that comes with things that people sometimes think are frivolous. And it's not frivolous. And I'll give you an example that matches COVID-19. I took my children for a really short walk next to my house. And if you saw how they started rejoicing, it would make you cry. They didn't go anywhere, but they just went outside and they were very, very happy. So a person would say, well, why you had to do that? But at the time, I felt like it was real important for them, because I understood that they were getting really depressed. So I just, you know, I just put them outside. And what I'm trying to say is that in the same way, sometimes people can feel like everything I have is old. Nothing I have I don't like. And they start to feel depressed about their situation. They start to lose their feeling for what is happy about life. And that's why we really have to look at our priorities, including happiness being a priority as well, and then make decisions with our budget. Because it's not sometimes what we think will make us happy isn't. So maybe you don't need the latest gadget. Maybe you don't need the latest this and that, trying to impress people. But what do you really need that will suit your needs and let you have a comfortable life? And I think that's something that people sometimes throw through the window and always go into this survival mode. But at the end of the day, a human can only last so long in survival mode. Then people are going to start to break away. You're going to see people doing things that, you know, to make themselves feel good. And that also is important to an extent. And I think nobody looks at that. With the whole corona is out, people would just say, stay inside, deal with your mental health, whatever. If a person going crazy, they can't deal with their mental health. So we have to be very careful. Even like what he said about the gas bottle and about the jeans, you made a very valid point. The lady might only have one pair of jeans and have one gas bottle. But you know what? The lady might be a fashion designer. She might love a jeans. A jeans might make her feel really good. So she might feel it's a priority compared to the gas bottle. People have different priorities and ways of ticking, and different things make different people work. And when you take them away, some people don't see the point in living. So we have to be very careful about judging people for what they buy, even though his points are valid.
Excellent. I like this one. This one says, talking about adjusting, I made cheeseburger soup yesterday. One of my daughters who don't like soup, who does not like soup, and the other one does not like vegetables, enjoyed it and had seconds. Oh my.
Interesting.
Cheeseburger soup.
Brass that. A beef soup, and they put cheese in it, maybe a creamy soup.
I have no idea. Cheeseburger
I would like
soup.
More details. I frightened, but I would like some more details.
All right. WhatsApp, you heard that? Send them through. 2 minutes after one, we gallop towards the end of this Brass Tack Sunday. There are no more turns as we head to the finish line. We say, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon, caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, please. Thank you, Ms. Celine. I'm Rosaline Corbin from the People's Party for Democracy and Development. Mm-hmm. And my assignment is to shadow education. I am so sorry that I've come in at the tail end, because there are some things I would want to raise. And quickly, I want to speak about the provision of education for our children within this indefinite period away from school, as well as reaching and feeding the children with a nutritious meal during this term time, since that the meals that they would have received from school, meal service at school, would in most cases be the only proper meal that they would have had for a day. I prepared a proposal which I have sent out to the media houses, and I can get that to you too.
Mm-hmm. The media houses and the ministry, or just the media houses?
The national media houses, the various media houses. And my proposal quickly is that the vote is there. The monies have been allocated for school meals for this new term that leads up to summer, the term that they would have been in right now. And the vote is there. And I am saying that we can mobilize the Ministry of Education, taking the lead, can mobilize the resources. They've got the personnel. They've got the manpower. They bought the financial means. I even, in that proposal, suggested that they may even tap into your household mitigation fund, which should reach at about 1,500 at least persons, to see if you could collaborate and get the meals out there to those children in need in the in need out there. We recognize that in these challenging times that it is really difficult on households, as you would know, Ms. Celine, mm-hmm. on households to meet their basic needs with all the other things that are pulling on their resources. And I'm concerned that our children need to be fed at least 3 times a week. And I am suggesting a cooked meal with fruit and some enriched, vitamin-enriched beverage. Mm-hmm. I do hope that the Ministry of Education and the various entities that are involved do reach out to feed our children. I know that persons are coming up with creative things with which to prepare meals, creative ways, but how many households can do cheeseburger and veg soup? We have, from our end as a party, received a call from another entity, religious status, a religious organization, and they have asked, could we supply them with the basics? And these are the basics they ask for. Rice, sugar, flour. That is what people are asking for to meet a meal, a basic meal. So you can think about how creatively they would use those basics.
I like your idea on touching on the head that would have covered school meals and see if we can do some collaboration there. I would encourage you to send it over to the Ministry of Education and, if possible, also to the Household Mitigation Unit. I also want to compliment you for bringing an alternative, because years ago I renamed the opposition in Barbados the Alternative, because I thought the name just brought the feeling that it was necessary to oppose, whether there was something to oppose or not. And I would like to see an official renaming of our opposition as the alternative. We don't have to mind the rest of the world. If we see something that can be better, we do it that way. But I want you to pass on those proposals as outsiders just to the media houses, to actual agencies that can get some good ideas from them. And again, I'm sorry you came in at this time. I do have your contact information, so I'll be reaching out to you as well. So thank you very much for coming through. Any of the guests want to touch on that? Yeah, go ahead.
I thank you very much, Ms. Elaine, for this opportunity. I know you're very much civic-minded. I know you are out there doing your work, not only within the mitigation unit, and I know that the demands will be made. I get that proposal to you. PDP is not about criticizing. We are about, for the sake of criticizing, we don't do that. We speak to the public from an informed platform. And when we do so, we also look at providing strategies, alternatives, and workable solutions. So I shall get you that document right soon.
I thank you very, very, very much for that. All right. This one says, good day to you, Corey and panel. Adjustments must be made. We eat to live and not live to eat. The references to fish cake, sardine, and other things we grow up on are okay, but we must remember that the individuals of the past generation, grandparents, provided the fish cakes, etc., but there was also a balance. The children were given laxatives, castor oil, or other drinks which assisted in cleaning out the body systems. Some individuals no longer do so. So, to my panel, any response before we move on?
I have a response to the lady from the PVC. She was saying people are asking for rice, sugar, and flour. My question is, what are you doing with that whole set of sugar? What are you doing with that whole set of flour? People's idea about what is a necessity might be the issue here. We might need to start asking for more protein-rich sources. Sugar is not a necessary food. Half of Barbados' problem, why we have such a high diabetes rate, is because of too much sugar. So when, you know, people will ask for what they're accustomed to and what they're running short on based on what they're accustomed to. But I think for her to say everybody can't make cheeseburger soup, that's not the point at all. The point is that people can take different items that they have and do different things with it. And I'll tell you something, when Chefette opens back up, that is going to be the biggest news story in Barbados that day, going to be birthed. So don't make it seem as though everybody is just eating, mixing sugar with water and making bakes. It is not true. I'm not belittling persons who are very poor and unfortunate. And what I would encourage people to do, though, is to in every way educate themselves more, because no matter how poor somebody is, they can make different ways to do something different based on what they have. The problem is if they have nothing at all. So that's a completely different bracket, but I think Shafet is going to be birthed. And then the other person's comment about children receiving laxatives and so on in the past. Yes, that's the point I was trying to make in the beginning about incorporating things from the past into the present. Now, do you need to be taking laxatives? No, but you do need to be cleansing out your body and so on every once in a while. But even as far as just making sure, like how I had commented on adding vegetables to meals that you might not normally put them, that is a very good start. And for persons who feel that they cannot afford vegetables, I would say then you should have had a garden every since or have some access, because I'm telling you, vegetables throw away every week in the market that don't sell. Things spoil, yep. Things throw away. So sometimes people, they act like they're in such a hard situation, but the truth is that a lot of it is based on their own mindset, which is the point I want people to leave if they don't remember nothing else from me today. It is your mindset often has a lot to do with what happens to you and how you deal with what happens to you. So change your mindset. If you say, I need vegetables, go on the internet and say, listen, I would really like some vegetables to feed my children. And see if you don't get some, you will get.
Let me hear from the other two guests as we wrap up, because we head towards the end. Now, usually I count down the minutes on some brass stats, I will confess, but I feel like I could do another 3 hours right down to 4 o'clock right now.
Yeah, this is going quite well.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something totally out of left field because I really wanted to get this in. Parents, I know some of you are listening, and I know people are listening, know parents out there who may not have been in contact with their schools. Understand this. We can only contact you if we have contact information for you. Corey, we have in some cases where a parent signs in a child at a school, a nursery, gives a number, has changed their number 3 and 4 times since then, has never notified the school. This is the point in time now where we're having issues in locating some parents, and that is also another challenge that a number of schools are having where you just cannot find the child. It's different if the child, if it is a community school and the child is from the community, you may be able to ask a neighbor, but in some cases that's not always the case. So if you have not heard from your school, need to do something roundabout. You may need to go and look for the hope that your school is a hurricane shelter and then find the principal that way, because that's online. I think that may be in the phone book, I'm not certain. And then try to get in touch with the principal that way. But I can assure you the school is trying to find you. I know that from my school, that we still have some children we have not yet connected with, because they may have been in our school's catchment area in the beginning. I know they have moved out and they have never changed their contact information.
So to parents out there, just a reminder that, you know, education is a team sport. We just got about a minute left. So David, take us home.
Well, thanks, Corey.
Hello. Yeah, you were cutting. If you get close to the base. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What is the area that I was sensitive to? I think you may remember the headmistress, very primary toward the end of the term, really highlighted it in the media in terms of.
David, we're losing you there.
Yeah.
And a good point. All right, David, we're gonna close it here. This one, we go with this one. Good morning, Selena, or good afternoon, Selena. Someone did lettuce cakes because they couldn't find spinach to make the spinach cake. They just substituted. People are diehard with names and ingredients and original tradition. We need to explore. That's how chefs progress. Just let me take this opportunity to thank all you who called, who reached out, and of course, my three guests, David Simpson from ICAP. We had Stacia Burrows from education, and we had Selena Dobson, and she's a chef and, you know, into fitness and all these different things. We want to thank you all for spending your morning and part of your afternoon with us here at Starcam and Brass Stack Sunday. I want to thank my producer, technical operator and animator to points of the show, Mr. Ronnie Clark. Thank those of you on the chat, those who sent messages. I've been your host, Corey Lane, and I just want to leave thanking Williams Industries Incorporated, Lynn